so excited for this. I was listening to your one episode this morning where you were like introducing the sort of like rebrand for Loving Wellness, and
Oh my
you
gosh.
played an episode from another podcast that you were on.
Yeah.
And I was just listening through it, and I was just like resonating with so much of what you were saying. And I don't like to like learn too much about my guest is past and story before we get like live in the moment, but I wanted to listen to at least like that one. And I was just like, oh my goodness, we have so much to talk about, so much to
Yeah.
do. So I think it'll be a great convo.
I completely agree. And I feel the same way when I was listening back to an episode that you were on, because I do the same thing. I don't like to like binge listen to people I have on my podcast before, because then it's like I know everything already. But I also do like to kind of gauge what I can ask about and just know a little bit before going into it. So I feel the exact same way. And I'm just so excited to have both of these conversations.
What really got me interested in chatting with you and like diving deeper was that you have this blend infusion of like what I consider like 360 wellness and health and whatnot, where you are a dietitian and you have the, typical routes of physical well-being, but then you also have this like spiritual side to you. And I know you're into like the emotional health too. And so I feel as though our frame of like how we view health and life and everything together is very similar. And so I love having conversations with people where you really can talk about and appreciate the full like spectrum of what it means to be healthy and well and like mind, body, spirit. So I'm curious, like, when did, and we'll just dive right into things, but when did like the fusion between, oh, health, wellness, like life is about so much more than just the foods I eat and the movements I do, like when did the more emotional, spiritual, like mental, even aspects of wellness start to fuse with that more like physical realm for you? Or if it was flip-flopped, like whichever, whenever that like fusion moment was for the 360 view of it all.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think it's so, I could spend an hour just talking about this. So I'll try to condense it. But I had always, not always, when I was really young, I wasn't very healthy. I immigrated from Iran with my family when I was three. So, I definitely ate healthy for some time. My mom would always home cook meals and things like that. But eventually, when you're an immigrant, you kind of want to blend in with the culture that you enter. And I ended up becoming almost addicted to like junk food, to processed foods, to McDonald's, Taco Bell, like all the things. So saying that I was always healthy is not true, but at an early age, because I just have a pretty sensitive body. So at an early age, I started to feel the effects of that. And I think this is kind of a parallel between both of our stories, is that we both kind of got into healing and learning about this stuff at a young age, from what I can tell. And I think that that has really served me. I think when I was younger, it was like, why do I care about all these things? Why can't I just be normal almost? But I got into the physical aspect of things when I was in like middle school, which looking back, I'm like, wow, I'm so young to be like going to the grocery store with my mom and getting ingredients to make a smoothie and all the things like that. So I got into the physical stuff then, but as a lot of people, when they are, type A, controlling perfectionists, as I was when I was younger, I kind of, it got out of hand at a certain point. And, another parallel I think between us is that we both dealt with an eating disorder at a young age. And so that definitely really shaped me, transformed me at the core. I luckily, as we both did, got out of it, but it was a really hard time. And that's another moment in my life where I was not physically healthy, even though I thought I was, right? I never had the intention of having an eating disorder, as I don't think anyone does. And I thought that I was doing what was healthy for me. I thought that if I just ate less and ate only these foods and ate X amount of calories a day, like all the things that we do when we're in that space, that I was being healthy and doing what's best for my body. But then a lot of health issues came out of that. And I had dealt with a lot of different little chronic symptoms before, but they really came to a head after my eating disorder, because as we know, that is only damaging your body so much more than you think it's helping. It literally does not help at all, starving yourself. That's another moment in my life where I was not healthy. And then through learning about nutrition, through learning about all these things, what it means to nourish your body, I started to pick up the pieces again and really become healthier. And, that at that point, getting out of my eating disorder was kind of where the spirituality started to trickle in. It wasn't anything crazy, but that's when I got into, the things we do when we're first getting into this work, the affirmations, the journaling, the long, I found my solace in hiking. Like I would go on these like 5, 6 mile hikes alone and just be with my thoughts, be with my own energy. And that was really healing for me. And there's so many things I did, but that's the first time I think I felt that spiritual side of things. And I don't think without that, I would have been okay. And I think then I went to college and then I struggled with disconnection again. And, I thought I was the healthiest person in the world. I eat well, I exercise, I do all these things. But A, I was blinding to myself to a lot of the things I was doing that were not so healthy on the physical front. But B, I had completely lost that spiritual aspect of things. Because I think when you go to college, you go to a new environment, you just, I mean, I was the queen of just wanting other people to like me, trying to fit in with the crowd, trying to do what I needed to do to be accepted, but also thinking that I enjoyed those things, right? So falling into partying and just wanting to become friends with everyone for the sake of having friends and all the things we do sometimes when we're in college and we don't know any better. Not to say that everyone does that, but I think it's really common to fall into that when you're surrounded by this new environment and new people and you just want to be accepted at the core. So that's kind of where another little disconnect happened. And then it wasn't until like a few months before COVID hit, actually, that I started to go through an awakening process again. And I had gotten out of a relationship that wasn't aligned with me. And then through that, and it wasn't even, that didn't even, it was kind of the catalyst, but there were so many other things going on. And I was like, I don't feel connected to myself and to who I know I am at the core. And so I think that's when it all kind of clicked for me because I was also struggling once again with health things. And I think there's such a connection between how we feel physically and what's going on emotionally and spiritually. So that is kind of when I started to put the pieces together again and, healing and becoming your most authentic self. It's such a journey, right? Like sometimes you feel good, you're feeling more connected, you're feeling more healed. And then other times you kind of like when I went to college, it kind of like goes backwards. You might take a few steps back, but then it's all about coming back to yourself. And for me, what that looks like is coming back to my loving, which is where loving wellness comes in. And my whole life mission is like how can I be the most loving version of myself in all areas of my life? To make a long story short, that's really when it started happening. I had a spiritual awakening, as some would call it, at that point. And then COVID really put me deeper into that. And I was really able, because I had the time and space at that point, as many of us did. And we're, I'm so privileged to have had that. And I was in a place in my life where I did have time, which is so valuable in these moments where you're trying to reconnect to who you are authentically. And so I had the time and space to really dive into who am I and start to peel back the layers and unlearn so many of the things that I learned and programmed myself with throughout my entire life. So that's kind of in a nutshell how it happened. And then through that, started deepening my healing to my body and, once again, have gone through other health things in between, but what really brings me back, and now I can say I feel the best I've ever felt. And that's because I think my spiritual connection is the strongest it's ever been. And if as long as I am progressing in that way, I feel like my health is also progressing, if that makes sense.
100%. Yeah, it's just wild when like the deeper you dive into this all to see how the physical health directly correlates to everything going on inward, and how so many of us are like taught the complete opposite, where we put all the focus and all the intention on trying to get like the physical to reach this certain standard, like set by society or set by whatever it might be. And in that process, we like get disconnected from like the emotional, the spiritual, the like more mental aspect of things. And so it's so fascinating also, like, just listening to your journey, reflecting on my own, reflecting to like a lot of the friends and people in my community too, just the way that things sort of like oscillate, right? And it goes like up and down. And so it was, you start having some healing, you start finding some like new peace, connection, whatever it is, and then you're put into a whole new environment of college and things change, and then you have to like slowly over time like recalibrate and reconnect again, as you were saying. And then you're like now again in a season where everything's feeling like connected and at peace, and you're like discovering new things. And so it's just so cool, like the more that happens, it's almost like the when the challenges and the lessons and everything arise, you're just like that much more equipped to know what's going on and to like support yourself throughout it too. So I'm curious, like now that you're in this season where you do feel like you're having more of that spiritual connection and you're feeling the best you ever have, what are some of the like practices or habits or even like healing modalities you feel like you've done in the past like few months or weeks or present, whatever it is, that helps you kind of be in this season where there's like the peace and the spiritual connection and the like loving, overall loving wellness that you like exude and embody? What would be some of those things that support you and might be of interest to anyone listening?
Yeah. And once again, I could go on for an hour about this one as well, as I probably can for everything. I like to talk, so you can stop me wherever if I keep going. But I think a lot of the things that ground me and anchor me back to that right now are my spiritual practices. And I can get into the physical health things as well, because they're very important. It's not like we can ignore those things. And I view physical health and caring for my physical vessel, my physical body, as almost this radical act of self-love and this radical act of taking care of myself spiritually, because it's almost like we have to treat our bodies as the precious one-time thing that they are. And if we don't, it's directly going to impede our spiritual growth. And I think that that's why a lot of people get into physical health first. They get into nutrition, they get into, exercising, and then they start to progress and then grow spiritually, then get into the self-development, the inner growth. And I think that's the way things go for a reason. It's because you really can't grow spiritually if you don't have your basic health needs. It's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like at the bottom is your basic needs, and at the top is like spiritual ascension, or enlightenment, or whatever he calls it. But to go back to your question, I think right now I'm really disciplined and committed to my spiritual practices. And I think that's why I feel so good. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I'm not as present when I do them, or I'm not as, not committed, because I do it. Like I go through the motions every day. And I think just showing up for yourself in that way builds confidence and builds health from the inside out. But I'm not perfect, so I just want to preface with that. But I have a few things I do. I mean, there's so many things. The first thing I think that's the most important is meditation. And I know that that's very cliche, but I practice a specific type of meditation. They're called spiritual exercises. So it's kind of like exercising your mind. It's similar to TM. I don't know if you've heard of it, transcendental meditation.
Yeah. But I don't, if you can share like a little blurb about what that kind of looks like for you, because I'm personally not that aware of it, and I feel like people are.
Yeah. So I read this book that really catapulted a lot of my spiritual journey a while back. And I go back to this book a lot. I have clients read this book, and it's called Spiritual Warrior by John Roger. He was a spiritual teacher back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. He's no longer alive. But this book was given to me by a loved one. And I can't say enough good things about it. And in the book, he describes what spiritual exercises are. He kind of coined the term, came up with it, but it's really just kind of reciting a mantra over and over. So kind of like TM, it's kind of the same thing. You get a mantra, but this one, it's the mantra is the same. And it's you're reciting the Sanskrit, I believe, word for God. And
Mm.
so it's, and you're not doing it for the whole, I do 30 to 40 minutes a day right now, and I didn't start that way. So it's not like I just woke up one day and started doing 30 minutes of meditation, but I worked my way up, and I find it just so, it's my way to kind of connect back to myself and to source, spirit, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, that energy that we all, maybe not all, but a lot of us know exists deep within us. You can even call it your intuition, right? But it's my way. I call it like my morning meeting with myself and God, because it's like I need to put that first and take care of myself before I can do anything else, help my clients, help the people I love in my life, and anything else. So that really grounds me and helps clear my mind, clear my energy from the day before, and really helps set me up for success, really, for the day. And yeah, if you want to learn more about that type of meditation, I highly suggest reading the book. He goes through it, and the book is full of so many tangible tools. It's a really nice, like, practical spirituality book, which I love. And I would say the other thing that I really do and focus on these days is my forgiveness practice. So I think that a lot of times throughout our days, we pick up so much negativity, but we're also picking up limiting beliefs. We're picking up fears. We're picking up all this hatred from the world around us. My mentor and spiritual coach, if you will, he always says we're positive beings living on a negative realm. And I find that to be so true, because, like, look at the world around us. And it's not to be, negative about what's going on, but it truly is. We are positive beings, and we know that. When we unlearn all the things we've learned, when we come back to ourselves, at the core of it, we are love. And, it's like that book Marianne Williamson wrote, A Return to Love. And I talk about coming back to my loving, not becoming loving, because we don't become that. We are that, but we have to remove all the gunk on top. So my forgiveness practice also really helps me do that. And it's as simple as just reciting, I forgive and release X. Like, I forgive and release the fear I picked up today that I'm not worthy enough, or I forgive and release the fear that there's not enough money to go around. Like, anything that I picked up in my day, anything that I kind of judged as well, because another thing that I find separates me from that loving is judgment of others, of myself, usually. So another kind of phrase I like to do is I forgive myself for judging myself for X, like for judging myself for being too X, Y, Z, like whatever it is. And so that is also a really important practice to me. I don't miss a day, just because if I'm not on top of that, then think about what's running my life. It's all these subconscious patterns and beliefs and fears and hatreds, and I don't want to be living that way. And another thing my mentor always tells me is your conscious choice supersedes your patterns, but our patterns are run by our subconscious. And so if we're not conscious, if we're not aware and watchful and really ruthless about doing the things we need to do to stay in our loving, that's going to really impact the way we live our lives, and our subconscious is going to run the show. And I don't want my subconscious running the show, and I don't think most people do. If you have ever done subconscious work, you'd know that the stuff in there isn't too great. So it's, for me, a journey of being more conscious, being more watchful, being more ruthless, being more disciplined, all these things, which I find help me come back to my loving every day.
Okay, I have so much to say.
I know that was a lot. I could go on,
No,
but
it's
I'm going to
amazing.
stop.
I need to start taking notes on the side. So if you see great, that's what I'm doing. But first, what's fresh is what's the purpose of the forgiveness? And I'm asking this because I, a few weeks ago, was explaining to a friend I had this, there was this guy, and I couldn't, it felt like there was a fucking like energetic cord between us. And it's been over, like there's nothing there, and yet it just felt like his presence and energy was just continuously in my field. And she advised I do, and I know you know this because I heard it on your podcast, but it's the Hawaiian
Oh,
forgiveness.
Ho'oponopono. Yeah.
And so I did it. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. But I didn't get to ask her, and I still haven't figured it out. What does the forgiveness aspect do? And even when you were just explaining your forgiveness practice, like if you're forgiving like the fear of money that came up for you that day or something, what's the forgiveness aspect like? doing? Like, what is that creating or like shifting for us? Because if the fear of money comes up for me, which it does for like a lot of the time, what am I forgiving myself for like creating that fear? A tech or like I'm just that's what I'm trying to
Yeah.
consider right now is what the forgiveness aspect does.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's different with different things. So, like, sometimes we pick up things from other people. Like you said, you picked up this like weird energy probably from this guy, right? If I'm kind of understanding correctly. So, even just for me, it's like coming back to my own energy because I've found that the more that I've grown spiritually and the more that I've gotten into this work and really have tried to live as my authentic self and come back to my loving, it's like this peeling of layers. And so almost I feel naked in a way. And it almost feels, and I think you could probably relate to this, being in the, doing what you do, being in the field that you're in and learning the things you've learned through your journey of like, the more we live as our authentic self, the more we almost have to lose because then we're not putting up fronts. We're not putting up these fake facades of ourselves. And so that becomes kind of scary, if, especially if we're not used to living that way. And so for me, the forgiveness, because I do feel more vulnerable and more, just myself, and it's the most beautiful thing, right? But I also am, I feel more susceptible to other people's energies. I feel more sensitive for better or for worse. And that's also a learning in and of itself, right? But I think, A, in terms of what I pick up from others, it's just making sure I remain clear in my own energy. But then also, when you were asking about, the judgment piece of like the money thing, it's also just making sure that. It's going back to the word clear. It's like clearing that belief so that it almost like isn't inside of me anymore. And if you can't see me, everyone listening, but I'm kind of like putting my hand over my head like a screen, kind of like washing it all away. And that's really what I feel like it does. It just like revives me and brings me back into my own energy instead of being run by whatever mainstream media is saying, whatever social media is saying, whatever all these things I'm picking up, because there's so much noise. So I think that it's a spiritual thing, but also just a being a person in this world thing of like there's so much noise, and the more we can come back to ourselves, the better off we'll be because we're not going to be impacted as much by the noise, and we can really tune back into ourselves and tune back into what's right for us because what works for someone else isn't going to work for me always. And what works for me isn't going to work for you. And then we're also always changing ourselves, right? So the same thing that worked for me 5 years ago isn't going to work for me now. So I need to really have that intuitive piece and have a strong intuition to know what does work for me now and not give my power away to the noise, to the media, to whatever this expert is saying that I should do. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of different layers there, but I hope I answered your question. And if you have any others, like please ask. But yeah, it's all about coming back home to myself, I think.
Okay, that resonates. And this is the perfect because it reminded me of what else I wanted to ask and talk to you about, which is the concept and what you spoke about where the physical is like caring for the physical body and the physical vessel is like the launching point and what leads to these like deeper and deeper layers and the peeling back of the layers. What's interesting, and I'm curious like how you'll resonate with this, is that we've both had our past with disordered eating. We've been in that field. I think so. Let me, I guess, how I'm phrasing this is that in recent years, right after my like big recovery, I got very big into the world of like almost kind of like fuck it to health because it was like I felt so much pressure of just like fuck health and fuck this and like blah, 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 and I can do whatever. And I should just like live this way and I should just be free and whatever it is, you only have one life. And then if you like in the next that lasted a brief bit. And then I found into the spiritual side of things and I was like, oh wait, like caring for the physical vessel can go deeper than just appearance-wise and look-wise. And it really is important for these like deeper levels of emotional and spiritual growth and development. So I started getting back into it and then I felt what happened was that I felt this like fear and worry come up that people would think I was getting back into disordered eating because I cared about eating high quality foods and I didn't want to use these oils and I didn't want to do this and this. And so I felt myself like shut down and go kind of like radio sign, like quit sharing recipes, quit doing all the things I inherently love because I was so afraid that people would judge me for getting back into disordered eating ways. And I'm watching you resonate with this so much now, but like what I've started to discover in the last few months is like that is like it's just been such a pain point for me. And so it's so refreshing to hear you speak about this and to have you put it that way of like there can be other reasons why we care for our physical well-being. And it doesn't mean we're extreme and it doesn't mean we're back in these disordered ways. And it just plays into that, like all the mental fucking chatter from like social media and this person says and whatever it is. And just like ultimately, like getting in touch with what feels good for your body, what you know you need. And I know like you were vegan, you started eating meat again. So like I know you've had your own journey with this, but I'd just be curious, like, what are your thoughts? What are your comments? Like, what's coming to you as I'm sort of sharing this thing that I've personally moved through.
Okay, first of all, thank you for bringing this up. This is something I am so passionate about, and I don't talk about it enough because I have also had to work through these fears of like, I don't want people to think I'm disordered, but also eating healthy and taking care of my body isn't disordered. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. And we've gotten into this twisted world of like everything is healthy, and I have a bone to pick with the, not intuitive eating, because I believe in intuition clearly from our conversation, but it's not the intuitive eating world is this kind of world of fuck it, eat whatever you want, fuck, diet culture, which yes, fuck diet culture. But at the same time, there's so much nuance with this. And so I've had this conversation once before with someone on my podcast. Her name is Michelle Shapiro, and now she's a good friend and just a really awesome functional dietitian as well, who believes in the power of intention, which is one of the core pillars of my loving wellness philosophy and method. And I think that that's the key, is that what's your intention with the way that you're eating? What's the intention behind eating whole foods and eating healthy? Is it because you want to look a certain way, or is it because you actually want to take care of your body and live a healthy life? And I think that we've gotten to this weird place where people aren't even accepting that, like, yeah, some foods actually are more health promoting than other foods. Like, we can't lie to ourselves about that. It's not good or bad. And I like to take, good and bad away, because food is not a moral thing. But at the same time, there's facts, and there's also what works for one person and what doesn't work for one person. And so I think that you're right. It's the noise, and it's also letting fear run your life, right? Like, I had to work through this myself of like, why am I allowing the fear of people thinking I'm maybe extreme with the way I eat and my health choices, or disordered with my diet, when it's like, what is that? Where's that coming from? And a couple questions that help me anchor back into what's true and help me work through this are, is it loving? And is it serving me? So is that fear of what are people going to think? Why, like, should I share this? Is that loving? Like, no, it's not. It's literally fear, which is the opposite. And is it serving me? No, it's causing me anxiety and dimming my light. And if I want to share authentically and truthfully with people, then I should be able to share that in a way that I feel called to. And if it doesn't resonate with people, it doesn't resonate with people. So yeah, sometimes people might look at the way I live my life or the way I eat as extreme, or as, some people, I get the comment like, how are you so disciplined? And it's like, it's not even, it just comes to me so naturally because I care so much about taking care of my body, but also because I know what it feels like to not feel good. And I think when you've gone through that, you also have to like look at the lens of what someone has gone through in the past. So I don't, I don't feel good when I don't eat a whole foods based diet, right? I don't feel good when I'm eating a ton of junk and processed foods. And I don't think that's disordered. I think that's a loving intention of what's going to serve my highest good. I always come back to that phrase, like, what's for the highest good? And oftentimes with things like this, and I help clients work through this too, it's like making your long-term health more important than the immediate gratification of whatever that is. And sometimes the immediate gratification is the loving act. So that's where the nuance comes in. And that's what I teach people with intentional eating, which is one of my main practices, is like, not in, I mean, intuitive eating is great. You should listen to your intuition, but also, like, what's the intention? And how can we eat this meal with intention? And if it is something that isn't quote unquote healthy, which once again, healthy can mean so many different things, it's so nuanced, but it's all about coming back to your intention with that thing. So I don't, I'm not going to say that someone shouldn't eat something because it's like, well, why do you want it in the first place? Are you trying to fill a void? Because that might not be the best intention. But if your intention is to connect with those around you and eat that cake and enjoy and celebrate and be in the presence of your loved ones and be able to be a part of that thing, like, please do it and do it with intention and do it with love. Because if you're allowing that fear and that guilt and that shame run the show, then once again, your subconscious patterns are going to be the ones that are going to overtake what's going on, and then you're not going to feel good. So I think we have to be intentional and conscious about our choices about what we eat, but also not allow fear to run us in any way when it comes to sharing about what we eat and the way that we live our lives, but also the little things like eating a dessert or something smaller in our day-to-day lives.
I love this so much. And it's so interesting, the intention, like, way of eating, because I hadn't ever heard it put that way. And intuitive eating, like, called to me, and it didn't call to me, because, as you said, there's a lot of fear mongering around that as well. And there's just a lot of nuance as well, because I oftentimes struggle as well, where if I'm in a rocky place, my intuition isn't really online, and that's why I'm in a rocky place, because I'm letting these, like, patterns and habits of the past rule the show. And that being said, my eating choices are then not truly coming from intuition. They're coming from this, like, sidetracked way. And so just trying to eat intuitively has always resulted in this, like, back and forth, because it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then, whoop, something happens, I'm rocky, intuition goes offline, and then it's like, okay, what's happening? And then becomes shame or guilt, whatever it is. And so it just becomes, and I feel like I've seen that in a lot of other people. I've heard people say that in other words even. But when it comes to, like, the intention, like you said, that's like a just continuous way to check in with yourself. And I love having those, like, two questions even of, is it loving and is it serving me, as those sort of, like, pillars for it? Because, as you said, there's a big difference between, you're with friends and you want to celebrate, and so you're going to eat this, versus when it's like 9, 10, 11 p.m. at night, and your quote unquote intuition is like, I need a slice of cake for the fifth night in a row because intuition is saying so. I mean, maybe it is. In my experience, usually by the fifth night, I'd be like, okay, this has not been intuition, this has been old habits. And now I'm in a cycle that I have to break out of again. So it is so refreshing to feel, to think of it that way, of like, what is the intention? What is the loving? And I'm just kind of mind blown right now, because I'm like, this is going to be a game for me even, because it's, I've been recovered, and I've been, like, shifting my relationship for food for a long time, but there's still, like, always, as you said before, like, more, like, layers to peel back and levels and new challenges. And if something comes up in life and knocks me kind of, like, off my course, like, habits come back from the past. And so it's so nice to continuously find practices and new ways of thinking and applying to life that we can just grow from. So I love that intention bit.
I'm so happy it resonated with you. And I just want to speak to something you said with intuitive eating, because I tried it too. It's not like I, went straight from being in that disordered place to like where I am now. There's so much in between. I mean, it's been years, almost a decade. So it's like, yeah, I've gone through the ringer kind of. And when I tried intuitive eating, I actually felt the least connected to myself. And so just if someone's trying it right now and feeling like they're kind of out of control with food, first of all, I'd look at like, where's that control piece coming in? Like, why are you trying to control? But also it's like, yeah, do you have that intuitive connection to yourself? Because if you don't, I would start there. I wouldn't start with the food itself. I think that we have to build that connection before we do anything else, because then the noise is going to run the show, like I've been saying. And so it sounds like that was your experience. And I think that that was my experience for sure. And I didn't feel good, like physically, when I was doing that, because I was allowing, like you said, these old patterns. And also, there's something to be said about I had to go through that too. So it's also about accepting the journey and accepting what's right in that moment for you. And I think that served me for a really long time. And you mentioned me being vegan, and I think that that also served me for quite some time because that's really what helped me learn how to nourish myself and stop restricting my food. And not in the sense of like restricting types of foods, because obviously veganism is a restrictive diet. And yeah, one could say that I was still in a disordered place. But truly, when I go back and I ask myself, and once again, that's the power and beauty of having that intuitive connection, is like, I know what's true for me and I can't let anyone else tell me otherwise. And so those fears, once again, have been there. But when I go back, it's like, yeah, I did learn how to eat enough food and the importance of eating enough and worrying about micronutrients and getting all these things in so I could be healthy. And so that served me until it didn't anymore and caused some more health issues. And I find that that's the case for a lot of people once they go, past 3, 4, 5 years with that diet. But I had to go through it to get to where I am today. So I'm grateful for it. And everything I do and everything I will go through is, I want to use that as an experience to learn and grow. And that's another one of my main kind of mottos and things I live by is like, how can I use this for my growth, my expansion, my spiritual progression instead of, oh my God, why did I do that? Like, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that back then? Like, I fucked my body up. I did this. And you could go to that place, but that's not a really fun place to be either.
No, it's all just the school of life and like the life
Yeah.
learn. And similar, like my vegetarian vegan phase was such a teacher for me. And there was a year or two where I was like so upset. I was like, oh, that, because it kind of fucked me up. But I learned so much. And so having like that gratitude, and this can be applied to so many areas of life, is just so shifting. But I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned you do this with like clients and people that work with you. Say someone comes to you and they have, a past, whether it's a full-blown disorder or they've just had disordered eating tendencies, basically everyone who's ever tried to get into health and wellness nowadays, and they're just not sure what to do with their relationship to food. Maybe they've tried tracking, maybe they haven't, maybe they've tried intuitive eating, maybe they haven't, but overall they feel out of control with how they eat. Maybe they're feeling uncertain, they're not sure what to do. Do you like immediately set them on this path for like the intentional eating way, or are there other things that you do to like build people up to that point? Or like, I just am curious, like, how you work with someone who's maybe listening to this and they're like, oh fuck, that's me. Like, what's like the starting building blocks that you get them going with so that they can eventually work up to maybe like 100% intentional eating and really feel confident in doing that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And once again, as with everything, there's nuance. And I think it's different for different people. So like some people have the personality where they're just, I'm done with this. I'm ready to get into whatever it is you tell me. And I'm ready to start this journey. And they have that faith. They have that, they might have like a small little spiritual practice first. So it really depends on where someone's coming from. And I treat every client differently because that's one of my main mottos, I guess. One of the other core principles of loving wellness is that, like, we're all different. So, A, not comparing ourselves and our journeys to someone else's, but I don't treat my clients, all of them, the same and, help them in the same way because everyone needs something a little different. And they're all coming to me at different parts of their healing journeys. So, I would say for someone who's kind of fresh off of the I mean, it depends. If they've worked on their relationship with food and they have gone through that maybe intuitive eating phase where they kind of said fuck everything and now they don't feel good and they're just lost, because I think that that's where a lot of people find me too, is like they just feel lost because they feel like they don't know what is actually true. And it's always coming back to what's true for you right now. And so I don't even work on food in most initial sessions. For that matter, for the first month with people, because we really need to build that trust with themselves first. And so that looks like a lot of the clearing work I talked about. I have a practice I love teaching people how to do. It's called freeform writing, another practice I learned from that book, Spiritual Warrior. So it's really another way to kind of like the forgiveness practice. And I kind of combine the two sometimes, but oftentimes, and I'm sure you've felt this way with like journaling, because I know you are into that like if we don't get things on the paper or even like out loud, if we don't get things out of our head, it can get so clouded up there and it's not a good place to be if you're trying to heal your body. And so a lot of times people will come to me and we'll work on that first, and we'll work on, okay, do this for free form writing practice every night for a week, for example. And this is not, once again, for everyone, and it's not how I treat everyone, but this is just an example. I just want to keep that in mind. But, you know, it's getting what's going on in your mind onto the paper. So oftentimes I'll have people write forgiveness statements while they're doing the freeform writing. And what you do is I always have people light a candle, you know, have like a quiet place to sit where you're not going to be distracted or interrupted. And you just start writing. And let me tell you, like sometimes I'll write and I can't even read the words because I'm going so fast, but it's just the act of getting it onto the paper that's so powerful. But if you can read what you're writing, which can be very valuable, I don't recommend looking at it, because we're trying to clear these things. And sometimes there's value. There's other journaling practices that I teach that are for us to look at as feedback. So this is not that. This is the act of, once again, clearing the mind of the junk that's filled it up from, once again, everything you've picked up in your life from media, diet culture, all these things, and really starting from a clear place. And so many downloads come through too. So yes, we're not reading it, but we know what we're writing oftentimes. And so I'll have people come to me, or even myself, I'll be like, oh, I got that clarity I needed on that one thing in that freeform writing session. So it's really helpful to get clarity, to get closer to yourself, to the universe, to God, whatever you want to call it, and closer to that intuition, so that you know kind of what you need to work on next. And so that kind of gives us some feedback in and of itself. And I find that to be really powerful. And so we work on really like, what are the stories you're telling yourself? Where are you blinding yourself? That's another question I really like to ask. Like, where are you blinding yourself when it comes to your health and your wellness? What attachments do you have too? So all of these sound very like spiritual, personal development, but they can all be applied to wellness. And that's really where that blend for me comes in. It's like, what are you know, attached to in terms of your wellness? Are you attached to a certain way of eating that might not be serving you? Just like for me, I think for a while I was attached to being vegan because I had this identity around it. And so a lot of the times it's clearing those things before we can actually get started with how to eat with intention and how to be intuitive in a way that isn't in the general sense of intuitive eating, but really coming back to yourself.
It's almost like an unlearning before the fresh learning too. That's
yes.
What I'm taking from this, of, like you said, releasing the attachments or releasing even like thoughts or judgments around certain foods or whatever.
100%. It is.
And then also the more clear you are and like all sense of the matter, the more attuned you are with how your body feels, and you can actually connect with that. And then that just makes the entire eating process and like that sorting of it all the simpler and more, you know, easily to do. So I love that sort of like clearing approach. And so can work with clients in this way, since I don't know, typical exchange of, you know, like, okay, this is my food philosophy and this is what I'm going to teach thus all my clients, and you know, here's this and here's that. And so it's so cool to just hear more and more people, yourself included, use these much more like intentional ways of connecting and serving like whatever the client's needing in that time. So it's so just so nice to hear that that's happening more and more.
Well, thank you. And I've also functioned in that way before, of like, okay, here's what you need to do. And sometimes people actually need that. So once again, I said there's nuance and it's different for every case. So like sometimes people do just need someone, they have that personality, they're in that place on their journey where they just need the guidance and they don't need all the other stuff, which is fine. I meet people where they're at, but oftentimes that's not the clients I'm attracting. So I think there's something to be said about, like you said, the clarity first and then working on the food and the relationship with food. But yeah, it's definitely like, it's been a process to develop this way of working. And it's also not for everyone. So I understand if someone's hearing this and it might not resonate with them, and they do want the person who's just going to give them the protocol, which, by the way, I do believe in functional medicine. Like that's what I'm trained in. That's what I also incorporate into my practice, because I think the testing and knowing what's going on inside your body is also really valuable too. So like gut testing, stool testing, I use those things in my practice, but I also, I think, take it a few steps further.
When you're like combining that 360 aspect to it, And I know we just have a little bit here left, but I was curious. You mentioned you yourself had like health things that popped up over the years too. Is that what, like, was there anything in particular, just like Cliff Notes version, that came up for you in those health struggles that you now feel like so confident and so like passionate about helping other people go through, if that's also like what they're experiencing?
Yeah, I think for me, and this is why I brought up the gut testing, because I truly believe that a lot of illness and dis-ease starts in the gut. And for me, my gut health has been this ongoing process and what really got me into all of this. Even before I got into disordered eating, I had gut issues, and I can always remember having a more sensitive stomach. My stomach would hurt a lot as a kid, and then that developed into other things. And I think that, I was having this conversation with another functional practitioner that I know, and he was saying, you don't just heal the gut once and it's like perfect for the rest of your life. He was like, I've healed my gut like 5 times, and it's like a process. So I think that GI health and just taking care of your gut is so important, because there actually is that connection to your mind. So it really speaks to everything I believe and have been saying. But also in my own experience, I've felt, when I'm not in alignment, or when I'm anxious or stressed or whatever X, Y, and Z it is, I don't feel good digestive wise. So I think that gut health and just taking care of your gut, but not just from like what you eat and the supplements and all those things and the testing, but really supporting your nervous system, because I found that to be really helpful for me. But I've, acne has been another huge one. It's all connected though. So like acne and the gut, huge. Acne and the liver, huge. Acne and your gallbladder, huge. So it always comes back to kind of those digestive organs. Another really, I went through another kind of healing of my gut more recently when I was traveling almost a year ago. And it was after a really stressful time in my life. And I got this gnarly parasite when I was traveling. And that led to a whole host of its own health issues. And I actually haven't talked about this yet because it's kind of still fresh, but I feel so good now that I feel comfortable sharing. And it caused, a lot of stuff with my thyroid. And so I'm really passionate about thyroid health, because that's another thing, is that I believe in taking care of your metabolism will take care of the rest. So like gut and metabolism, and they're both very interlinked. And I know we don't have a ton of time. Once again, this is like I'm scattered because I could go on for an hour about this, but I think that people with hypothyroidism, like those, clients really resonate with my work, because I've been through that, and I take a very unique approach to that. Same thing with the gut. But I think that a lot of times people deal with these symptoms and they don't even have a diagnosis, but they just know that they don't feel good. And I've also been there, where I've just had random things come up in my body, and I don't always go to the doctor and get a diagnosis, because I know deep within myself that I need to look at what is perpetuating this. And yes, it could be something I'm blinding myself to physically that I'm not doing for my body, or that I am, that I need to remove. But I also think that these are signals from our body that something isn't right. So when I was at the worst of my acne, I was living in a place that wasn't in alignment with me anymore. And the second I moved, it healed. Like it got so much better. And that's, I made a reel about this the other day, about how we have to look at the daily things we're doing and the habits that we have for our health, but we also, on a healing journey, have to look at the big picture and kind of take a step back and look at our lives too. Like, what's not feeling good? What's not in alignment? Because oftentimes, and I've had clients where they're in a job that's not aligned, or they're in a relationship that is really not serving them. And you can only get so far healing the physical stuff without addressing these bigger life things too. So I think a lot of people don't want to hear it, but you do also have to maybe make some bigger life changes that you don't want to make, in the sake, for the sake of your health.
I'm so happy you said that, because once again, there's just so much mixed messaging around it. And I'm someone that I've spent years and thousands of dollars just trying to heal on the physical level. And then I realized, like, oh, why things keep coming back and why I keep having these issues is because there's some nervous system thing. Like there's just so many deeper levels. And so now it's like I've pivoted my entire approach to it. So once again, just so good to hear and refreshing to like know that there are people like you out there helping us, but like me and all of us, really discover like what's that blend between the physical, outward, more simplistic aspects of health and healing and wellness, and what are the deeper levels and what's the emotional, spiritual side of things? Because whether it's healing or progressing or just living life on the daily, it really is like a blend and a fusion of it all. So I love that. Yeah, you're bringing that and creating that for your clients. So where can people
Thank you.
find you and connect and learn more? Because I'm sure after this episode, they're going to be like, who is this woman? And I want to learn
Well,
more.
thank you. And thank you for asking such thoughtful questions. And I just had the best time chatting about all this with you. So if this resonated with you and you want to find me, I'm at Ava Nouri Wellness on TikTok, Instagram, and I also have a website, avanouriwellness.com, where you can apply to work with me. I also have some other offerings there, and I also have a podcast, which Emily and I are about to go record for my show, and I'm gonna interview her. It's called Loving Wellness, after everything we've just chatted about and my entire wellness philosophy. And you know what's funny is my podcast used to be called for the longest time Thoughts on Thriving. So I feel like there's just that funny parallel between us. Because it really is. It's like about how to thrive in all areas of your life, which I know is your goal as well. So I'm so grateful we've connected, and thank you so much for having me.